While the World Wildlife Society is seeking to expand the range of the wild buffalo, a Passamaquoddy Indian man who has adopted the ways of the Lakota Sioux is bringing the culture of the buffalo to New England. The Lakota believe that they share the earth as equal partners with their animal relatives, especially the buffalo, which at one time was the central provider for nearly all of life's needs. Today, with the wild herds of buffalo just about gone, many Lakota are building more domesticated herds, and among them is Justin Red Bear Mudgett. He's planning what he says is an authentic Lakota tribal village on his 40-acre bison farm near Hillsboro, New Hampshire. He wants tourists to visit, but his dream is to build a community where people can live in harmony with nature. Sean Cole of member station WBUR in Boston drove to New Hampshire to learn more about Mr. Mudgett and his vision, but there was an unexpected stop along the way.
I'm on the side of the road in Hillsboro, New Hampshire, and I'm out of gas. And I'm waiting for Justin Mudgett, also known as Red Bear, to come and pick me up. And we're going to go get some gas. This is really embarrassing.
It was a beautiful day to wait for an Indian. I say Indian because it's what Red Bear calls himself, calls all Native Americans, though sometimes he uses the word Aboriginal. He arrived the way an Indian should arrive, preceded by traditional music blaring from the stereo of his black pickup truck. We had talked a lot on the phone about why he's starting a Lakota village when he's descended from the Passamaquoddy tribe, about how he's trying to escape the cage of modern culture and literally go native on his buffalo farm. I pictured him tall and dark with a map of South Dakota on his face.
Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Red Bear is short and has a few important teeth missing, and he's as white as me. He's half Indian, though he thinks of himself as full-blooded. He's a lot of different things all at once. Friendly, idealistic, with some pretty controversial anti-government survival of the fittest opinions. He almost always wears his animal skins. And when I thanked him for taking me to get gas, he said, I had to get cigarettes anyway. Lately, he's been trying to quit by smoking a wild plant called colt's foot. He told me there are all kinds of wild foods and medicines growing around us, which is what they should be teaching kids in school, he says.
Survival. If the whole system were to fall right now, there's not many young people that would survive that kind of a fall because they've been taught how to, you know, live with groceries and paying bills and taxes and things like that, instead of how to live if all else fails. Which is what seems to be coming about nowadays. See all this Louisiana crap.
Meantime, I can't even survive a drive to New Hampshire without help. I fill up Red Bear's gas can.
Give me my receipt.
He finds himself in a conversation with a total stranger, a guy who says he's seen Red Bear around and wants to know more about the village he's planning.
That's awesome.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it was nice to meet you.
Come up anytime. The number on that card is different than on the truck. Right now, this is only an answer.
It's easy to say come up anytime, but Red Bear's farm, the Sacred Buffalo Farm it's called, is at the end of a circuitous dirt road miles from the main drag. He says he hopes the distance will add to the mystique. The entrance to the pasture where the village will be is marked by an American flag with a picture of an Indian on it. Deep in the clearing is the Council Lodge, a 22-foot-high teepee Red Bear put up himself. At the time I visited him, it was the only one standing.
There will probably be, I'd say, 5 or 6 more teepees spread about in this area. A lot of this will be tilled.
The dirt.
Right, the dirt. We'll collect the buffalo poops and pile them so that we have a lot of fuel.
Fuel for the central village fire that will burn day and night. This is also where Red Bear's 14-head buffalo herd used to be, but he moved them to another part of the farm. He cuts open a hay bale and throws some of it over the electric fence to get the buffalo moving around.
Wakan is the head guy. There he is. See him?
The one with the tall back.
Yeah, he's the breeder. He's my sacred man.
He's the stud?
Yeah, he's my best friend. Part and parcel to the culture was the buffalo. The reason that the Lakota knew how to live is because they watched the buffalo.
The Lakota are Midwestern Plains Indians. Red Bear says they're closer to their roots than a lot of other tribes. He calls them the last fighters, which is why he wants this to be a Lakota village. We sat together in the council lodge and talked about his plans for maybe 3 hours. He told me he was inviting 5 or 6 Indians from Pine Ridge Reservation, a Lakota reservation in South Dakota, to be his tribe.
What you're sitting in right here is a tourist attraction, okay? This is where people are going to come to learn to tan hides, to survival techniques, and picking roots, different plants, different trees. But the key essential thing that we are doing, what I have been trying to get to, has been tribalizing.
What does that mean, tribalized?
It's almost like your family, except that they're families by choice. We tried to create a democracy of people that vote to choose who they want as a leader. Well, I just don't personally think that that many people should be voting on one person to lead them. I just think it should be smaller groups of people that choose their leaders.
Tribes.
Pooling their resources, working for a common goal, letting the group fulfill the needs of the individual. And that might sound naive or quaint or, worse yet, cute. But Red Bear says the people who think it's cute are the ones who will actually come up and see the village and listen to him.
Yahweh, oh, Yahweh, oh,
this is Red Bear.
Yahweh, oh, a long time ago when I was really young, I always vowed that I was going to save my people. And then as I got into, like, you know, 8 or 9 or 10, I started thinking about being in villages and living with Indians in the village, you know, and being a great chief, you know, being a war chief, you know.
He tried it before. About 12 years ago, when he was 18, he and his now ex-wife set up teepees and tents in the woods behind a bed and breakfast in Connecticut.
And that didn't work because I was living across from the mall. They were getting ready to build a circuit city there. They're, you know.
From there, Red Bear worked security at Foxwoods, the Mashantucket Pequot Casino in Connecticut, and attended a powwow there where he met the famous Indian activist and movie actor Russell Means. Means encouraged him to follow his vision, to join the American Indian cause. But Mother Culture, as Red Bear calls it, was pulling him in another direction. He and his wife had started a lucrative bondage and domination sex club, lucrative enough to support 4 kids and a fairly significant crack habit. Soon, their relationship bottomed out, and soon after that, he was in a horrible car crash. He nearly died. He wanted to, but he merely lost part of his memory, some of the dexterity in one hand, and several important teeth. He was all alone, and all he could think to do was go out to Pine Ridge Reservation to die, he says.
And what they taught me was is that I wanted to live. I got out there, and there was every atrocity, every despair, every sadness, pain, heartache, happiness, laughter, joy, you know, in the most dangerous, ugly, nasty situation, somebody will make a joke and make lighthearted of the whole thing.
It was at Pine Ridge that he adopted the Lakota as his tribe, and that they, eventually, adopted him. It was there, too, that he first spent a lot of time around buffalo. Not too long after that, he came up to New Hampshire to say goodbye to a dying friend, and he just stayed, developing a relationship with his friend's widow. A couple years ago, they found out that there were buffalo farms in New Hampshire, and they decided to start one. Now, they're selling the meat at farmers markets and eating it themselves. But buffalo aren't just food, Red Bear says.
They're family. I don't ever call them its or creatures or beasts or animals or anything. I call them people. They're my people. Right now, this is our tribe at the moment.
And you walk in there with them?
Yeah.
Isn't that dangerous?
Of course. But then I couldn't call them my people. I'm as much of it in a cage as they are. I can look in at them and say, I pity you because you're inside this fence. And they can look at me and say, I pity you because you're inside that fence. You know?
And Red Bear's ultimate goal is to escape the fence and to help everybody else escape the fence. He's hoping that once he and the other members of the village start living the old way in earnest, other people will get the message and start their own tribes.
Even the tourists themselves might then come and say, hey, you know, we think what you're doing is good. We don't totally agree with doing Lakota, so we're going to go over here and do our tribe, and we're going to do it Celtic Druid, you know? And I go, booyah, we'll help you. Cool. I know a lot about Celtic Druidry.
But I was going to say, so the tourists, it sounds like, are a means to an end.
Yeah, a means to a beginning. what I call the taker era is over, and the Aboriginal era is dawning.
Takers.
Takers, explain that.
Takers are people who take more than they need from the earth and don't give anything back. In other words, almost everybody. It's not Red Bear's word. It comes from the book Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, which inspired the movie Instinct with Anthony Hopkins and Cuba Gooding Jr.
Session's not over.
Till you say so.
Right.
The taker.
Instinct is about a man who lived peaceably among wild gorillas before being ripped from their tribe by poachers, takers. In the forest, he had regained his human animal instinct, like Red Bear says he has, like Red Bear says we'll all need to when the project of modern culture finally fails.
We're always talking about how kids have everything. They know everything when they're born. Everybody says that. Oh, they know so much when they're born and then they lose it. Well, that's instinct that they lose. We condition it out of them.
He's hiding the buffalo.
Where?
He's hiding the buffalo in the gate.
In the gate?
Uh-huh.
Red Bear's girlfriend Diane has two sons from her previous marriage. They just had a third together, a little girl. He says he plans to raise them according to the old ways, and that Diane's oldest boy, who's 4 now, has already expressed interest in being an Indian.
And no other Indian in the world, I don't care, and if they did, I'd kill them, but no Indian in the world is going to look at him and say, you can't be an Indian, because look at your hair, look at your skin. Nobody's going to tell him that, because he's a kid. Well, there's some kids that happen to be like 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old that want to be Indian too, you know. You can't tell those kids, they can't. Just like you can't tell him, he can't, you know.
Hey, Yahweh, oh, Yahweh, oh,
since my day at the village to be, Red Bear's put up two more teepees, a 16-footer and an 18-footer. His Lakota friends should be arriving any day, if they haven't already. At some point, in one of our phone conversations after my visit, Red Bear told me something that was strangely comforting. He said if, down the road, it looks like Mother Culture is really starting to crumble, and all the systems we've built are shutting down. He said he wanted me to do everything in my power to get to the village. You'll have a place here, he said. And if that day ever comes, my number one priority will be to make sure I have enough gas. For Living on Earth, I'm Sean Cole.
You gave me stars in my eyes out.
Just ahead, talking healthy turkey for the holiday season. Keep listening to Living on Earth.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, online at mott.org, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. The Kresge Foundation, building the capacity of nonprofit organizations through challenge grants since 1924, on the web at kresge.org. The Annenberg Fund, for excellence in communications and education. And the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, from vision to innovative impact, 75 years of philanthropy. This is NPR, National Public Radio.